you for this preaching moment. Thank you for all the worship and the praise that is going towards you. And may we not lose sight of you in our circumstances. May we keep our eyes focused on the cross. Bless this thy servant as I speak your word. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. For our subject today, to walk with God. Just to walk with God is an amazing thing. If you have not walked with him, you are in for a treat when you decide to walk with him. For he takes you to places that you don't know that you're going to go. And if he takes you to a place, he does not ask your permission to take you there. He just said, walk with me. And when you walk with him, you are in for a wonderful blessing. Or you may get tired on the way, but keep walking. For when you walk with God, he does not just walk haphazardly. He does not do like, forgot what that guy named that made the move in Alaska. Crocodile Dundee. He doesn't do like Crocodile Dundee, just take a walkabout. A walkabout is when you walk and don't know where you're going, but you just walk and you just keep right on going. But when you walk with God, you're on a destination. You are going someplace. Going to ask you to do something for me today. You're going to need to keep your Bible open because we're going to travel today in this Word of God. We have 7 points in a closing, and every point there's a different Bible verse. We're going to take you to walking with God. To walk with God, there are some things that you must do. Point number one, to walk with God, you need to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You can't know where you're going when you're walking with God. You got to trust him. Just then I thought about Minister Allen. The other couple of years ago, he went to Israel or Jerusalem or somewhere. He went and he had somebody else tell him where he was going to go, how he was going to get there. He trusted them enough to let them make his itinerary. So don't you think that when you're walking with Jesus, you ought to let him make your itinerary. You not worry about where you're going. You just walking by faith and not by sight. We like to know everything. We want to know how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. We want to know when everything. But when you're walking with God, help me, Holy Ghost, you got to walk by faith. Don't know where you're going. Don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm trusting in the Lord. And some of us trust in him and don't even realize or recognize that we're trusting in him. We just walk. But you got to know the people that you're trusting to get you to the place where you want to go. Walking by faith. In order to walk by faith, something has to happen to you. You have to get the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you. And it stirs up the confidence that you have and the courage to face whatever is coming. I don't know what the rest of the day holds, but I know who holds the rest of the day. And that's enough for me to make it right there by itself. I must have the courage and the confidence to trust in the one that I know that said, let there be. And out of nothing, he made everything that there is. The believer, in this world, all believers face such things as pressure, trouble, sorrow, rejection, loss, disease, accidents, death, sickness. We all face this. But no matter what we face, the Holy Spirit stirs way down on the inside of you. He stirs our courage to face whatever is there. You got to walk by faith, knowing that our present home, this body, is only temporary. This body came from the dust, and it's going to go back. But I'm trusting in the God that breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I have faith and trusting in that God. Have I seen him? No, but I've seen his result. I saw it this morning when I first got up. I got up this morning, and I went to the mirror, and I looked in the mirror. I saw the results of that God that I'm serving, because he allowed me to see this day. You got to have faith, not knowing what the outcome is going to be, but I'm trusting in him. We are going to have trials. Yes, it's true. I've not yet seen my mansion, and I can tell you why I'm not in my mansion. It's not time for me to be in my mansion. That mansion that I have faith and trust in him. And I know. Haven't always been there. But he does not hold that against me because of where I am now. I will trust in the Lord. You got to walk by faith. No matter what the problem is, I must walk by faith. And this verse tells me, for we walk by faith and not by what we see. Because the eyes will fool you. They tell me that in court, two people can see the same accident and they won't tell it the same way. If everything is verbatim, they think something is fixed. So just because your testimony is different from everybody else's, don't think it's wrong. That's yours. Point number two. We need to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The answer to conquering the lust of the flesh is the Holy Spirit. The believer is to walk in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the only conceivable way to keep from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's this stuff that you are housed in, that you call a body. You have to keep it under subjection. The flesh fights for dominance. It lusts against the Spirit. It struggles and fights for control. The flesh stand contrary to the Spirit. The flesh stand toe-to-toe with the Spirit. Look at him face-to-face, get right up in his face. And it seeks to control the man that wants to make him not be in charge. The flesh is very strong and difficult to control. And I know I'm talking to a bunch of people that have everything under control. But I'm telling y'all this so y'all can tell somebody else tomorrow when you see them that their flesh is hard to control. I know you got everything under control. The believer's only hope in controlling the flesh is the Spirit of God. That's all. The flesh has within itself a base. It's unregulated, and it has an urge, and it has passions that it wants its own way. The flesh like to go to, what is that, Burger King? Have it their own way. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do and don't want anything to get in its way. But in order to conquer it, the believers must walk in the Spirit. Well, A man has a sense of desire to do whatever he likes. However, the genuine, the real, the shown up believer has another force within his or her life. And that force is the Holy Spirit. When the believer feels the constraint and the pressure between the flesh and the spirit, the Holy Spirit is given the power to overcome the flesh. This is difficult to do without the Holy Spirit. This is why sometime after you're saved, something will happen to you to make you want to do what you used to do. But you have to grit your teeth and say, no, I promise God. And he said he would put something on the inside of me that would not allow, would not let me do like my flesh want to do. And just because you got saved last week, it doesn't mean that your flesh is not going to rise up again. And it will rise up and keep rising up and keep rising up and keep rising up until it just completely quit. But it will not quit. May lay dominant for 6 or 7 years. And then all of a sudden, whoop, there it is. It's right back at the same place. In your mind, this flesh has a mind of its own. But if you walk in the Spirit, walk with me, Lord. When he walks with you, he got you. I often wonder why this, and I've said this before, and y'all probably haven't said, I wonder why they didn't say run with him. Have you ever noticed, you know, when you see people running, most of the time they're running by themselves, or they're in a race, but when they're walking, they walk and they talk. That's why he wants you to walk with him. And some of us in a hurry when it comes to God, that's why you miss something. You want to run with God. You can't run with God. Because God doesn't run. Most of our steps are no longer than 36 inches. If God were to take a step, he'd be out of sight. Because he's just that magnificent. See, so we must walk in the Spirit. The flesh keeps a person from doing what he would do. Every one of us in here have experienced the power of the flesh. Don't look at me funny because I said you've done that. You have. Some of you probably this morning, some of us probably this morning, have given in something to the flesh. You might not think it was a real big thing, but if you give in to the flesh with little things, it'll just gradually grow. So you got to keep it under subjection. This is why I think brothers, more of the ladies go on a diet than we do. Because they put their flesh under subjection. And we just let ours just all hang out. You know, you just don't get to a place where but you got to get it under subjection. You have to have it under control. And more than just the diet, too. The Holy Spirit frees us to live for Christ and to live as Christ lived. We have to live in this world knowing that the Spirit of Christ lives within me. No matter what your difficulties or your sin may be, you need to know without a shadow of a doubt that the Spirit of Christ lives within you. Then you can walk in the Spirit. And that's not just on Sunday, people. That's every day. You must walk in the Spirit every day if you're going to walk with God. Point number 3. We need to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's point number 3. Man cannot fellowship with God and walk in darkness. Darkness is sin. The light of God is the revelation of God Himself. Jesus came to the earth to reveal God to man. Jesus Christ is the very nature of God. To walk in the light is to believe in the Son of God who came to earth and follow Him. You can believe up here and not follow Him in your life. Following is just like walking. You walk with Him. You allow Him to lead you in every path of your life. If we walk in the light of Christ, then we have fellowship with Christ and with God. And this is where it gets sticky right here. And with all other believers. You can't just walk with God and Christ and not walk with me. I don't care how much you hate me, you still got to love me and treat me just like I'm a child of God. So if you're going to walk with God, you need to walk in fellowship with other believers. Now, doesn't say every Joe Blow. Didn't say walk with unbelievers. It said we have to walk along in fellowship with believers. But then what we need to do, the believers need to walk so close together, when the unbelievers see them, they want to be just like them. That's how you draw people, is when they observe you living the way God would have you to live, walking in the light. When you walk in the light, whatever you do, everybody can see what you're doing. That's why I said, that's one reason I won't trade that blue and white truck. Because everywhere everybody see it, they know it's me. If you've been around here 3 or 4 days, you know that's me. If you see it parked at Cash's, you know I'm in Cash's. Because if I go to Cash's, that's probably what I'm going to drive. So everybody, if they pass by and see it, they'll say, I saw Pastor Cash's, and he'll say, yeah, that was him, that was his truck. So if some of you guys borrow my truck, which you probably ain't going to do because I'm probably not going to let you have it. But if you were to and went there, they would think it was me. But my point is that we need to walk so everybody can see us. This is why you hear me say sometimes, hide and watch. Watch me live. I'm walking in the light. And there have been times in my life when I would not have told you to watch me, because I felt like I'd do something I didn't want you to know. But when you're walking in the light, you have fellowship with God, and that's all that matters. I want people to see me and want to be with God. I want to live so close to God. Bishop Patterson used to sing something. I want to live so God can use me anytime, anywhere, any place. That's the way we need to be when we're having fellowship, when we're walking in the light with God. We have fellowship with Him. God's a good God. If we walk in the light of Christ, then the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have cleansed us from our sin. The believer is to walk in the fellowship with Christ all day long, every day. Not just Sunday. Every day. You must walk in fellowship with Him. We are to walk acknowledging God in all His ways. Praying, praising, confessing my own shortcomings. And stay out of sin as much as we can, and then the Holy Spirit will take those that you can't stop yourself from doing. He'll take them. But you have to do your part. God's not going to make you get saved. He sent His Son. But you got the choice. You must walk in the light. If you walk in the light, then you're going to do the fellowship with God, with Christ, and with other believers. And I cannot emphasize that too much, other believers. If I can't fellowship with you, it ought to be because I am not a believer. Yeah. Uh-huh. You can't force people, but believers ought to be able to fellowship one with another. Point number four. We must walk worthy of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. If you haven't been called, you can't walk it. And you can be called and not walk it the way somebody else wants you to walk it. Mm-hmm. People can put you too far too fast. Or they can try to slow you down. But whatever my destiny is for God, you cannot stop me. You might help me thinking that you're stopping me. But if I'm doing the will of God, if I'm walking worthy of God, you cannot stop me. You can try to change my path, and the path that you changed for me that you think is going to be bad will be the best thing that ever happened to me. To walk worthy of the Lord is to be fit. To be suitable is to be worthy. The believer's behavior is to fit the gospel he or she professes, to correspond to the gospel he professes. So what you are fit to do is how you ought to be living. God will fit you into what he needs for you to do. And sometimes you have to grow into what God has for you to do. Some of y'all don't understand that grow into, because you may be have been the only child, and you may have when you finished wearing it, it might have been some good, but you didn't have it. But if you were the third or fourth one down the line, and it's a good pair of shoes, when your foot grow enough, you get them. That's the way it is with some things God have for you to do. You are not the where God is going to have you, God need for you to be 5 years from now if you stay working with God. You're not where you're going to be, because God is a God of growth. He grows you. If you don't believe that, you watch this rain that keeps falling on your grass. You got to cut it. So therefore, if you stay in this word of God, God will grow you to where he need for you to be. I'm so glad that I'm not where God is going to have me in the end. And I can say this about me. I don't know about nobody else, but to me, I'm doing better standing up here preaching than I did 10 years ago. Because God have grown me. I have welcomed him into me to allow him to use me to his glory, not to mine. See, you have to grow into what God wants you to do, or what God got for you to do. You have to be worthy of the job that you have, of the vocation that you have. Don't try to be what you are to satisfy somebody else. I am what I am because of God. He made me, so therefore I'm his. He bought me off the auction block on my way to hell. Christ went to Calvary, and I received Christ. So therefore, I must do what he has for me to do. I must walk worthy of the vocation that he has placed me in. And that's what you must do. Sometimes you feel like you have you ever, y'all probably didn't do this, but I had a young man one time who was playing football, and he always ran with a limp that season. And about midway through the season, I said, "Why are you limping so bad?" So I said, "When you're walking on campus, you're not limping." I said, "But when you get on the football field, you start limping." He said, "I don't know, coach." He said, "It's just my right shoe." He said, "My left one doesn't hurt." So we got in there and looked at his shoe. His left shoe was a 12. His right shoe was a 10. Uh-huh. Yeah, he had on mismatched shoes. One of them was two sizes too small, and it hurt. So therefore, he was limping. That's the way it is with you. When God fix you and you try to change it and be something else, it hurts. It hurts. So therefore, you need to walk worthy of the vocation that God have you in. Walk worthy mean that the way what God think you ought to be doing, that's what you're doing. You're worthy to walk the way you are. God thinks you're worthy. I said this before and I'll say it again because to me it's true. To me, when God gets tired of me pastoring this church, I'm out of here. I don't care what nobody else say. Or what they do, because I'm listening to him. I'm listening to him. When I asked him, I said, I want to pastor one church, and that's the one you place me at. When you walk worthy with God, God will deal with you, and you are walking with him, and he's constantly talking to you. I know it. I ain't crazy. This is his talk right here. This is his talk right here. He talks through this word right here, and he'll talk to you in this word. But you have to have a listening ear. You can't be so busy talking to God all the time that you don't ever want to listen. I preached the other week on a quiet time. You need to just have some time when you just take a seat and just do nothing but just wait to listen on God. Listen to what God is going to tell you. And he always has something to say. Always. But the question is, are we listening? When you profess this gospel, you need to be willing to live it because this is the vocation that he have called you to. We must walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord. So he will look at you and say, that's one of mine. He won't be embarrassed by you. Point number five. We are to walk in truth. 2 John verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. This is John writing to the sister elect. John was some distance away from where she lived because he was writing her a letter telling her about her children. He had seen some of them in the place that where he was. And I don't know what they were doing there. The Bible doesn't tell us. It's not important. But they were living the way that she was teaching them to live. The way God would have had them to live. So therefore, he was writing her, letting her know that they have taken heed to what you're saying. You must walk in truth of the commandments that you have received from God. When you receive a commandment from God, it's not an option. It's not you do it if you want to. You don't have a choice. This is what he said for you to do. So the children were to walk that way. They were walking, and it doesn't say whether John said anything to them or not. And I thought about us sometime when we go to a strange place. How do you live? Do you live where God would be pleased with you? If somebody see you that you don't know that know you, and they know you are from a church-going family and have seen you in church before, and now they see you and you doing something contrary to the will of God, you're not a good example. You're not walking in truth. No matter where I see you, you ought to be walking in the truth. You ought to be living in a way that will be pleasing to God and not trying to satisfy yourself. According to the truth of God is the way that you need to walk. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When you're living the way God would have you to live, the truth will find you out. Your sin will not catch you if you're living in truth. You have to live the way God would have you to live. And when you live that way, brothers and sisters, God will bless you. And you are walking with him, not running, walking with him. Walk in truth. Live the way the word says for you to live. And God will bless you. Might not seem like it, because you're looking for instant gratification. But when you endure, oh, the blessings are there. The blessings are there. When you walk in truth, sometimes you don't even know, you don't even recognize the stuff that's around you. I do believe this with everything I have to believe with. If unbelievers would have to go through the stuff that you have gone through, they wouldn't be standing like you were standing. Brothers and sisters, you need to see yourself as a strong believer in God. Because as you see yourself, you will work to be that way. I expect God to bless me. And I say that, and it might sound arrogant when I say it, but my spirit is so humble. It's because he is my Father. And I expect him to see about me, because he said he wouldn't leave me in office. So I'm living in truth the way he would have me to live. So he's going to answer my call. Maybe not when I want him, but he's going to answer it. You have to know that, brothers and sisters. You have to, when you walk with him, he'll give you that assurance. And you cannot just walk with him in truth on Sunday. Seven days a week, 24 hours a day, 60 minutes an hour, 60 seconds a minute. You have to do that all the time. All the time. And do you walk around scared? No. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. Time out. Time out. Got a question to ask you, and I don't need an answer. I know what my answer is. How many of you in here can tell me, and don't all of you holler out and tell me at the same time. Tell me what time you went to sleep last night? Don't answer. Point number six. That is number six, isn't it? Okay. All right, I'm looking at these Roman numerals down here, and they may confuse me. We need to walk in the fear of the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the church rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Walking in the fear of the Lord. This is after Saul had been converted. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. The church was walking in the Lord just as the Holy Spirit exhorted them. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, he so walk ye in him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you receive Christ, you walk in him. This passage is talking about the church. The church in these areas had been persecuted by a young man named Saul. And Saul had met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then the church in the area were walking in the fear of the Lord, because they had noticed, had seen, and observed what the Lord had done to this man called Saul. They walked in the fear of the Lord. This meant they lived in the fear of the Lord. To live before him in trust, reverence, and obedience. If you do not fear the Lord, you're in bad shape. You need to fear him. You need to fear the Lord. Not a fear that he's going to hurt you, but a fear, that a reverential fear. Respect is more the word to me. You need to respect him enough that you're going to do exactly like he said. That's the fear. If you don't do like he said, then he's going to, you have to suffer the consequences. But I fear him enough to know that he mean what he says, and he says what he mean, and then if I get caught not doing what he said, I can suffer the consequence. I've said this before. I have a lot of respect and all for my daddy, but as long as I did what was right, I wasn't scared of him. But as soon as I did wrong, I feared for him to come home, because I had done wrong. And I knew that he was going to find out that I'd done wrong, so there was going to be consequence. And it's the same way with God. I don't want God angry with me. They tell the story of a West Point. I forgot who the preacher was. They said was preaching at the academy at West Point. I heard this because I went to the academy one time, and I went to this chapel. And they said on the front pew on this side, the preacher one Sunday preached on sinners in the hand of an angry God. And some men had just got back from the war, and they were hanging on just like this. Like they were scared they was going to fall off, because they were sinners. And they didn't want to get caught in the hands of an angry God. Because God, if God gets angry, hey, you better look out. Because everything is in his control. So therefore, if you're doing right, you don't have to worry about it. And I think I said angry, but I'm saying if he dispenses justice, if he dispenses justice, I don't think God, I don't know, I don't want to do nothing to make God think he's angry with me. I want mercy. I don't want justice. I want mercy because that suits my case. But when you walk with him, then he will bless you to do what he needs for you to do. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you fear him so much that you're going to do just like he said. If I do like he says for me to do, I don't have a reason to fear him. But you must be obedient to the word of God. If you're not obedient, then you're going to need to fear him. We are to walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This is why I know that he's not going to harm me if I'm doing right by him. He'll send me the word Holy Ghost is in the Greek is parakletos. It means come alongside. I'm having this problem. I can't get away from this sin. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside me and help me to get over this. This is the kind of fear that we need to walk in with God. We need to fear God so much that if something wrong is in our mind, we need to ask him to come into our mind and control our mind and lead us in the path that he would have us to go. You cannot make it without the Holy Spirit. You cannot make it if you do not trust in God. The sins in your life will eat you alive if there is no God in your life. Well, this is my last one. We need to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. That might be wrong. Hold on. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. That's it. And walk in love as Christ also had loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2.
If you're going to walk with God, you must walk in love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not do what he did for us because he thought that we was worth it. He did it because of himself. It's in one of the other Johns. It said, God is. He is love. Everything about him oozes out love. Who's that? Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it? It has everything to do with it. Love. God so loved me that he gave all that he gave his very best. He loved me so much that he gave his only. Didn't have but one, but he gave him. If I'm going to walk with him, I got to walk in love. And he says somewhere in there, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one towards another. You can't like me. You got to love me. I don't care how much I get under your skin. You still got to love me. I might not love you back, but you got to love me. Because that's what the word said. Believers love one another. This is what draws sinners and unbelievers to Christ, if they see the love that is shown between the believers. Does this mean that everything I do have to be with unbelievers? No. You ought to live so they can see you and know who you are. I spoke to a young man yesterday walking across the road, and I know I knew who he, but I can't pull him. He passed by. He said, hello, Pastor, how you doing? I looked at him. I said, who is that? And I said, I'm doing good. How are you? And he was on his bicycle, I think, by the time he was gone, but I wanted to find out who he was. See, now, I need to be living right because he knows who I am. I'm a child of God, and I want to exemplify that. I want to live like that. If we walk in love, then we'll know the will of God. We'll know that we have to love everybody. Does it mean you take them home with you and feed them and clothe? No, you just love them. Might not never see them again, but you love them anyway because God loved you. And you got to love them. Those people that you can't stand to see coming, you better learn to love them. Or you might give them your key. You better love them. If you're a child of God, you'll love. Because you, any sin at all is one sin too many for God. And there's not a one of us in here that have not sinned. And God loved you enough to give his only begotten Son. So therefore, you need to understand that you need to love others because God loved you. You have to walk with God. If you are a believer, you must learn to walk in God. He gave a sacrifice for you. The sacrifice was his only Son. He did that for you. Jesus didn't die for himself. He didn't die for the Father. He died for the sinner. So that we could be in fellowship. All of those seven things are the characteristics. All of them fit in with Christ. All of them fit in with Christ. And I know you noticed that I have not touched the verse that I read that I got my thoughts from. Of 5 and 24 in Enoch. I'm going to do that in my closing. In the record of Enoch, you will find it in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis. It was at a very unique time and a very unique place in the world. In the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 5, we read these words somewhere. And all the days of Adam, all the days of Adam's lives were 939, and he died.
And all the days of Seth was 912, and he died. All the days of Enos was 905, and he died. All the days of Canaanite were 910, and he died. All the days of Mahalalel were 895, and he died. All the days of Jared was 962, and he died. All the days of Methuselah was 969, and he died. All the days of Lamech was 777, and he died. All the days of Enoch was 365, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. See, when you walk with God, you go home with him. And they tell the story of, and this is my conclusion and my story. In Sunday school, the little girl had been to Sunday school that morning, and her mama did not go to Sunday school. And when she came home that morning from Sunday school, the mama asked her, said, "What did they teach you?" She said, "They taught us about Enoch today, mama, in Sunday school." Said, "What about Enoch?" Said, "Well, said, in the story, said, Enoch lived by the road. And he was sitting on his porch one day, and God walked by and called him. Said, Enoch, come walk with me." Said, Enoch got out and walked with God. So that went on for about 5 or 6 months. Said, and then Enoch got to the place where he'd be standing down by the gate waiting on God to come by. And God would come by, and they'd walk a long ways, and then they'd turn around and come back. And said, then one day, Enoch was out there waiting on God, and God told him, said, Enoch, said, let's take a walk again. He said, okay. He said, let's walk. Said, and they just kept walking, said, and they walked, 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 and they walked. And it started getting late in the evening, and Enoch looked towards the west and saw the sun. He said, well, God, is getting late. I guess I better go back home. God said, no. So Enoch said, it's closer to my house than it is to your house. Said, come on and go to my house. And Enoch went home to be with God. And she said, the little girl said, mama, said, God took Enoch, and he didn't even die. Said, God took him, and he went on home to be with God. She said, what's the moral of the story? She said, the moral of the story, mama, is that if you walk with God, he'll take you home with him. And said, when God take you home with him, you don't have to worry about anything else. And see that's my invitation to you today, is to walk with God and then let him take you home with him. Will you stand? And if you don't know God, this is your time to come to Christ just as you are. Don't